And as I said, just a month left of footy before the NRL finals get underway. And really, if you look at the ladder, even though six teams are locked in, they can still finish all over the place. And then those last two spots, it's a dogfight between, I think, or let's say seven teams just for the sake to get into those last two positions. And enormous pressure this weekend on Parramatta because they are now in real danger of missing out on the top four. The Eels coach Brad Arthur hit out today about the speculation around his club and the future of the captain Clint Gutherson. We'll talk about that in a moment. But in the meantime, Mark Pigridell is with the Continuous Call team. He's with me in the studio. G'day, Pig.
Good evening, James.
There's a lot going on, but ultimately for Parramatta, if they can knock off Manly tomorrow night, they put all of these dramas and rumours to one side and it's back on track.
Yeah, that's what winning does, doesn't it? You know, when you're losing and your side's in a bit of a rut, which the Parramatta side are, and they have been for a little while and while now, that's when all these rumours and all the innuendo starts to pick up. So they get an opportunity to try and alleviate some of that with a win. It's amazing what a win in rugby league does.
And Brad Arthur, despite making a stack of finals series, does not have the best finals record. I think one win from six or one win from seven recent finals games. And there's been some pressure on him, some talk that he may be under threat if he doesn't have a good final series. The Eels coach spoke out today.
I'm fully aware of the responsibilities that go with being a head coach, and I'm prepared for, you know, any consequences that go with it when the team's not playing bad, when the team's playing poorly. So the club's done a very good job to give us a squad. I've never once complained in the 8 years of the squad that, you know, that we have to work with. With my efforts and the club's efforts, we've got together a very good squad. We're a blue-collar, workman-type squad where we need all 17 players each week to do their job. And if we do that, we go a long way towards winning games of footy. My relationship with everyone at the club is good. But, you know, when you're losing, things like this happen. If you want me to be real honest, I think it's crazy that we're sitting here talking about my job.
Yeah, so the rumour this week has been about the infighting over recruitment. There's a recruitment panel which includes the CEO and the general manager of football, Mark O'Neill, and some talk that O'Neill and Arthur are at odds. You know both these blokes. Have you heard anything from them?
Yeah, no, not off the top of my head. No, I've got no idea. Obviously, people in those positions are going to have a differing of opinions.
Yeah, which is good.
Which is good. Sometimes you want to be challenged on your opinion and you want to prove, you know, why you believe that that's the right way to go. So, you know, I've got no problem with that. Again, we touched on it earlier. They're not winning football games. Mm. There's going to be some dramas in and around the club off the field because of it. That's what happens with football clubs. So the best thing Parramatta can do for the team or the players can do is get out there and start winning football games again.
Look, if you're an Eels fan, you might want to comment on what you just heard from Brad Arthur there. 131-873. What have you made of the last 5 or 6 weeks of Parramatta heading into the finals? And still on them, the other thing is the captain, Clint Gutherson. Now, his manager, Sam Ayoub, has decided to put the negotiations for the end of next season and beyond on hold. And from what I've been told today, there's no guarantee the captain's going to be there once his contract comes to an end. It's still pretty much up in the air. It'll come down to money, but there's also a feeling from both parties that there's not a desperate need to re-sign long-term.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that does play out. I've got to say, I felt a few years ago for Gutho and the situation that he was in and the picture that it painted him in when he was going through his last contract negotiations. I fully understand Clint Gutherson and his management, you know, wanting to get the best deal for him possible because, you know, as a former player and seeing the players these days, they need to make as much money as they can before they retire to hopefully set themselves up post-football. So, and the Parramatta Club on the flip side, they've got to do what's, you know, in their best interest to make sure they're salary cap compliant and doing the right thing there. So I think it's good that they're going to discuss it in the off-season, make sure it doesn't distract them moving forward into this final series.
Yeah, and we sit off the top. A win over Manly puts a lot of this to one side for another week. Now, last night, Melbourne won their 18th game in a row, 26-16 over the Canberra Raiders. They're just one shy of the all-time record, 19, set by Eastern Suburbs in 1975. And really, in the last few weeks, and Craig Bellamy said this last night, they've been a little bit off their game.
Yeah, they have been, but good teams continue to win and from what I've been told, the players have been getting a fair bit of work into them during their training load. During the week, so That'll probably ease off over the next week or two. And as that eases off, you start to see their performances. They'll become better and better. They'll get to the finals. They know how to time their run, the Melbourne Storm. They've done it on so many occasions. Craig Bellamy, you know, he hasn't missed the... I think he's only missed the finals once. They know how to get it done, Melbourne. So I would think off the back of what we saw last night, they're only going to get better and better as we move into the finals.
And the big talking point, the other thing was 5 minutes before full time, the high tackle by Corey Hutter-Weeder-Nider. He was sent off. Jerome Hughes badly concussed as a result. Look, as soon as you saw that, you could tell that it was a send-off, and I think we know what is now and what isn't. But to his credit, he apologised on the field straight away. He was very apologetic. I know that doesn't excuse what he did. And he also wrote a long post on Instagram to say, I'm really disgusted in my behaviour. And I think you've got to give him credit for that because he's got a clean record in terms of the charges.
Yeah, he knew exactly what he'd done as soon as he made contact with Jerome Hughes and the high shot. The referee dealt with it really well. It was a send-off. He needed to go. He's of the understanding. He knows he's going to be spending some time out of the game, off the back of that. I've read exactly what you've read, and Jerome Hughes has even got back to him and thanked him for his concern over him. So, you know, he's going to cop a punishment, and then he'll just have to get on with things from there.
Before we let you go, and it's the Roosters and the Broncos tonight after 8 o'clock, we'll hear that game with you, Daryl and David Morrow. But it's Women in League round, and it's always a great round to celebrate the women that are involved in the game, but also the fans and also even people like the mums that, you know, first drove the kids to the games all the way back in the day and still do it junior footy. You've done some coaching, and it's good news because the NRLW is getting bigger and better every year, and it's a really good quality product that, you know, gets underway as the finals sort of do.
Yeah, it's good that they haven't sort of, I don't know whether I should say abandoned the women's game because of COVID, but they've got it on, and it's going to be played at the back end of the start of October and after the season finishes. It's great. Honestly, I only spent a small time coaching in the women's game, and it was with the New South Wales girls side, and it was only for 1 year, but the process that we put in place back then, to see where the game has come from there to where it is now is just tremendous. And unfortunately, I had other commitments and couldn't continue on in different roles with the women's game. But to see it where it is now, it's just great.
You weren't overthrown by the board?
No. Well, I had other coaching commitments at the Roosters at the time, and I just couldn't combine the two. And I was working here as well, James, and I had other commitments.
Turfing and all that stuff. So
I had that other job as well. So I had to pull the pin. But I was disappointed that I had to. But to see where it is now, I really love it. And to see some of the girls that I actually coached back then that were only 17, 18, 19, to have these wonderful careers now in the NRLW, I think he's great.
Absolutely. Now, the Roosters and Broncos tonight, very quickly, who do you think will win?
Oh, I've just gone the Roosters. Yeah. Look, I am a little bit worried. Obviously, they've got a few outs. Well, more than a few. They've had outs all season. But I think the coaching of Trent Robinson's been great this year. He continues to get his side up, even though they're depleted. They've had retirements. They've had suspensions. That's the sign of a really good coach.
Good stuff. Good seeing you, mate. We'll catch you after 7.
Thanks, James.
Mark P. Riddell with the Continuous Call team. The boys are on air from 7 o'clock tonight. They'll bring you the Broncos and the Roosters.